And we're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast that explores the question. No shoes, no shirt, yet it still gets service. You know why, Ed?
No, why, Michael?
I'm sexy and I know it.
And so, should you clap your hands?
Right? No, I don't need to.
Show number 66.
Somebody claps my hands for me, son. he's Ed Sorbo. He's from Lindemann Engineering. You can find him on the web at le-suspension.com. I am Michael Gugis. You can find me on the web at motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com and parked at the apex of a track near you. But when I'm there, I look good. I am too sexy for my shirt, Ed.
We have to start this show with a clarification.
Clarification.
Yes.
Did it.
Want to make it clear that when the lyrics to the song, I believe by the Foo Fighters,
okay,
were written,
right,
and they said everybody was kung fu dancing, they didn't mean at the same time. It's just that we've all kung fu'd at some point in our lives, and so in the totality, everyone has kung fu danced.
But who was the guy who said that everybody was kung fu fighting? Carl right. Douglas. Carl, I think that was the guy's name.
Oh, you're saying that the song is a play on something else?
Yeah, there's a song, there's a Motown, well, a famous Motown song.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody was kung fu fighting. You should look it up on YouTube. It's like on Soul, the video is from Soul Train, the quote-unquote live performance from Soul Train. It is hysterical watching the people in the audience doing kung fu shit. Oh my God, it's funny. Ed, here's
It's not fair to look back in time at pictures and haircuts and clothes.
I know.
And right?
I know.
It was new then.
Right?
Right?
Everybody thought
and,
it was
and check
totally
it out.
Cool.
People in the future are going to be looking at us now, so be nice to the people, right?
You can only judge things in a contemporary form. We look back throughout human history, and we see practices from cultures that are absolutely abhorrent today, that if they didn't do them back then, the culture would not have survived.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's a good segue. What does make a bike old?
You know what? I've been thinking about this because... We've written a lot about, and there's been a lot of talk about World Superbike preseason. We've got the first race, the very first race in the books, and everybody's surprised at the pace of the Honda, the Fireblade, in the hands of Nicky Hayden and Michael Vandermark. By the way, it's so cool to see Nicky Hayden in the lead pack of a race. You can
imagine
see
what
the smile.
That looks like from inside the visor,
can,
right?
Oh man!
Oh yeah, I remember this.
This is awesome. This is why I do this, right? But I was thinking, and the rap is okay. The Fireblade's so old. Who cares? So what's the problem with an old bike?
Well, in that context, right, the person who says that just doesn't know why the bike is not as competitive at the very front, and
right.
So they just say, oh, it's old. Right?
Right.
I thought you were talking about what makes a truly old bike old versus like vintage, which is cool.
Right.
Right?
No. The GSXR, the Suzuki GSXR, which for the first year since 1988 is not in World Superbike, but people said, that bike is old and that's not why it's working well. But that damn thing led all the time charts in Philip Island last year.
Yeah, in that context, old doesn't refer only to the technology of the bike and the age of the bike. It refers to the level of commitment from the factory and all that
true.
Kind of right? There's
that's
too
true.
Many variables
if you're not trying
and
to
pause for a moment in case you folks haven't heard this out. We are at a racetrack.
Yes,
races are going on right now.
We are racing
and we're actually going to do today's podcast, which is number 66 by the
66.
way. And in case you're wondering, we don't know the title. Gugis comes up with those after when he writes the description. It's always
right.
a surprise. And
I
then I come up with the picture, and I make sure it's got nothing to do with his title.
Anyway, in a little while,
Tony Serra's going to be going out for his race,
right.
And now we're going to pause while I crew chief, and then we're going to come back. So
the Tony Serra. I come up with the title.
You don't have to say the.
I light some candles. I turn off all the lights in my room. I assume a lotus position, and the title appears to me as though it were divine intervention. Or it's a hallucination, one or the other.
And we were talking about old superbikes.
Yeah. I really think, because it's not about weight. Anybody can get a bike to minimum weight. It's not about suspension, because in World Superbike, you can bolt on front and rear suspension. Really, I think about the only thing that might happen is frame stiffness and geometry. That might be, what worked 5 years ago doesn't work with new tires or something like that. But I think that's about it.
No, it's so the answer to these kind of things is always some combination of everything, mm-hmm. right? The manager of the team, how they, all the members of the team get along. Who are the mechanics? Do you have too many new guys this year, or do you have all the same guys that they were all getting right?
Right.
How the rider fits with it? Is the rider having a good day?
And
you know?
Pointed out something that's really important too. New model, the factory's trying to get a reputation for it, so yep. they invest. Yamaha is directly factory involved with the R1 and World Superbike.
If you're on a team where everybody already believes, our bike's been out for 6 years, it's hopeless.
Right.
Guess what? You're not trying
as
hard.
It's not going to go so well.
Yeah. So in that context, but I'm intrigued when you sent me this question to, I was intrigued by the way that's just written. What makes a bike old?
What does
so
make a bike
any
old?
Bike old? Is a Honda Hawk old?
No. Mine is.
No. And the reason is, it's still a neat, useful motorcycle.
Got
an EX500 is old because mm-hmm. it's a piece of junk, right?
Right.
A BSA from back in the day can either be old or
new, depending.
Fantastic. It depends, right? And the scale, right? It's a moving target.
Yeah.
You can't judge a BSA from back in the day by today's standard.
Right.
There's no way a cable-operated drum brake.
Right.
Right? It's going to
collide. Just like we talked about at the beginning.
Yep.
I have a really cool book at home. I have two books that I've talked about
Do you read them?
No.
Yeah. Once you own them, you don't have to, right?
They're in the library, if you know what I'm talking about. It's on the BMW R90S, the really old, cool sport touring bike. And there's a section in the back about maintenance and upgrades. And it starts out, and I love this. It says, you can build more horsepower into the motor on this thing, but don't.
Yeah.
You know, just leave it as it is. And that's the difference between an old, unreliable, frustrating piece of shit and a really cool vintage bike.
The most important thing is accepting the real limitations you
right.
are. And the best example I think of that is if you go to the vintage races today, mm-hmm. you find guys racing on track day tires.
Yeah.
Because if they put modern slicks on, it's too much tire for
break
the chassis. The
spokes.
Well, it'll just flex everything too much. It could eventually break spokes.
That's what JU told me once. He was on a bike with
spoke tires.
Well,
yeah, it can. I mean, it doesn't just break them in the first day. It flexes so much
but
that they eventually break.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's segue into Moto America because we have two topics
right?
for them.
Right.
And let's start with yours. Honda does three-race showdown.
Yes, very cool. And we don't know the details because, let's face it, we're idea people.
We didn't want to read the press release, that's why.
We can't be bothered with details. Here's the important thing. Honda is doing some kind of three-race internal special deal in the Moto America season. And if you do really well in three certain races, the winner of that internal contest gets a new Honda car. The details aren't important. The bigger picture is what matters here. When Honda walked out of AMA Racing after that whole Buell melting down the case thing, you know, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
If you're going to make up bullshit rules, go all the way.
That
right?
was a,
that's
that was
classic.
A classic.
That,
oh
that should
God.
Be a scene in somebody's movie about
be.
Weird
it should
shit.
Be, it should be
For
in
those
a
of you who don't know
go
what
ahead,
this was. So the rule said, what did the rule say?
The rule
said you had to use the stock cases.
Stock cases.
And so the AMA wanted to help out Buell and keep him in the battle and everything. And so instead of just telling everybody, listen, we're going to make an exception
right.
to help out Buell. And everybody would have gone, well, they can't win anyway, so
right.
let's have it. Was it Buell or was it Harley?
No, it was Buell.
It was Buell.
Absolutely.
So they said that the rule actually meant, they being AMA, actually meant that you could melt down the cases and recast them
in a different configuration.
Yeah, which means you can do any freaking thing you want, right?
It's
crazy.
That was
stupid.
Awesome.
It just melts down any authority. Any rule can mean anything you want now.
You know what? And you couldn't even argue because you're so dumbfounded
by that. And really, the sad thing was, like I said, my point is really all the teams would have said, yeah, that's fine. Get them.
Exactly.
Everybody wanted Buell in. Nobody,
right?
It's better for everybody. If let's say you have four or five manufacturers in, whatever your thing is, and they all win three or four races, that's the best there is.
Or you even rewrite the rule to say something different, right?
Exactly,
you know,
but you don't make up some bullshit. It's just,
exactly.
Yeah, that's horrible.
So
okay.
anyway, one of, that was
so
one of the
reasons. So it's good to have Honda coming back.
Right, that was one of the reasons that Honda left. And when they left, they slammed the door
hard. Oh, yeah,
that
was a bad deal.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, okay? So maybe whatever Honda's doing is not what we'd all like them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not jump on the wagon of bad-mouthing it's a positive thing.
Yeah. Oh,
a little encouragement builds to more better stuff in the future.
Absolutely. Right? No, I couldn't agree more.
And the problem we want to have is, God damn it, we got too many sponsors.
Right? Where are we going to put all these bikes?
Money. Yeah,
where are we going to put all these race bikes, right?
Okay. So that was Moto America positive.
Yep.
I got a Moto America negative.
You think it's a negative?
Bringing back queues is the work of the devil.
Why so?
It's not going to change anything. I mean, they're bringing it back in such a way that these 12 guys are going to be the first 12 guys.
Right.
So within them, it only shuffles the order with those guys.
A little bit.
Doesn't do the super evil of making somebody not be able to qualify for being in the race just because somebody got a tire that's got nothing to do with the distance going to race. Okay. But you gain nothing.
You know what you get? You get a little bit of the show.
No, you don't get any show. They don't have any TV package to cover the show. The show that people are imagining is when you have a really good TV package like Moto America has, where they cover every detail,
it is kind of exciting. About Moto America.
I'm sorry, MotoGP.
Got it.
Except that those guys are doing that cool show at qualifying on race tires.
Yeah. Well,
and if you put a queue on the bike, your setup means nothing
for
the race. It's negative practice.
Oh, yeah. It's a
lot of extra money people got to spend that they wouldn't have to spend.
If the tire companies want to do it and they're willing to fund it,
they're not funding it. They're selling the tires.
I'm saying if they wanted to do it and they were providing the tires and they weren't selling them, I'd be down with it. They do it in World Superbike. They throw Q tire or Super Soft on there for like one lap, and it's freaking cool because all of a sudden the guys.
Do you notice any difference in the teams between World Superbike
and
national level?
Absolutely.
Okay,
and
how many factory supported national level AMA Moto America riders do we have? How many? Four.
How many?
No, really. I'm serious.
Yeah, how many?
Josh and Bouvier.
Right.
Yosh has Lewis. And Hayden, that's
right,
four.
Right.
Who else?
Yamaha does some support with the other guys.
No, full factory.
Four.
Okay, the rest of the 12 guys, who's paying for their tires?
Good point. Okay.
And who's dealing with the changes in the setup that you got to make?
I'll grant you all that. But all I'm saying is they're trying to emulate something that they see on TV.
But TV doesn't have that.
Yeah.
MotoGP doesn't use cues.
You know how... Yeah,
you're saying Moto America, World Superbike just puts on their softest tire. That's what MotoGP does.
Right.
It's not cues.
Okay. Well, I think that's all they're trying to do here.
I think this is Dunlop sneaking their nose under the tent again. Dunlop wants... By the way, folks, that's a TZ250 you just heard.
Yep.
Dunlop wants more tires, whatever. They have their reason. Yes.
Okay.
And back in the bad AMA days... Honda had too much influence and Dunlop had too much influence. And those were bad things.
So you're thinking that's bad.
And on top of that, I say there is no gain from the teams having to do this extra work and spend this extra money.
Granted, like I said, all I can see is that it's fun for the show if you've got an audience.
Okay, let's imagine the audience at the racetrack, the guy in turn four.
Okay.
How is it different for him?
Because it's qualifying and they're watching the times.
Less laps.
Right.
Because the guy's in the pits changing tires.
Right.
He goes by. Was that his warm-up lap? Is that his second lap? Is it his cool-down lap?
The announcers can't cover it well enough.
The times are not up there.
The guy can't see the times.
Tell me how the person on TV has his quality of the show.
Oh, dude, I watched qualifying from World Superbike this time.
This is not World Superbike. This is Moto America's TV show.
I know. All I'm saying, it's not a terrible idea. And I'm saying that they're emulating something. And check this out. It's not convinced.
No, well, you're saying that you keep saying they're emulating something.
Yeah.
Nobody else is doing this.
Oh, no, I disagree.
No.
Okay, well, the softest tire is...
That's not a cue.
Well,
the softest tire can go race distance.
No, it can't.
A cue can go four laps.
Nah. Okay, all I know is that when I watch qualifying in World Superbike, they did one lap and they were done.
Yes, and they do that in MotoGP also.
Yeah.
And then they use that tire later on in practice.
Not
yes,
this one.
They do.
No, not this one.
Okay, and you're talking about the best TV package we have.
You are.
Our local national show does not have the ability to do what you're imagining.
But this brings up something kind of cool.
Swedish guy.
Wait, I want the Swedish guy to be the 2-minute board.
We're a long ways away from that. We're at 14 minutes now. We're getting close to when Tony's got to go out.
So let me end this on a really cool, kind of interesting note. You know how, and you can determine this too. You can find out how closely allied the Moto America and World Superbike is. Okay, you know how I found out? you could download the Moto America rule book, and then you right click on your mouse to look on the properties, and you look in the details, you look at the author, and the author of it is Scott Sharp, the technical director.
I get it that people want to align with the world level,
yeah,
but I don't, but please tell me the national benefit of doing that.
This is,
because
no,
don't
this
tell me that so that when you take your national race to go to World Superbike, you go on the same route. Nobody's doing that.
This is total geeky, I can't believe this cool thing I found out. That's all I'm looking for here, Ed. That's all.
No,
I'm
no, sure. But I'm asking how aligning your national rules with the world level rules does something good for the national guys.
It doesn't.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. As a matter of fact, you can make a really solid argument that the last thing in the world you want at the national level is WSBK rules.
Yeah.
You know?
And the last thing that you want at the national qualifying level is qualifying tires.
Okay.
He's Michael Gugis.
He's Ed Sorbo.
We will be back after Tony's race.
Oh, and after I go get my first place trophy from this morning.
Yeah, Gugis is racing too.
And I won. Ha ha.
Aloha.